You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show from myself, Dan Roebuck, as Danny Willett starts the new season in style with a four-shot win at the Nedbank Golf Challenge.
Words can't really describe, you know. It's been a fantastic week, fantastic year. You know, a great way to top it off. Overwhelming, really.
We'll congratulate Danny on his win live on the show in a few minutes' time. Ross Fisher and Luke Donald made it an all-English top three, and both were impressed by Willett's Sun City success.
You know, he played great. Barely missed a shot.
Yeah, what was he, 12, 13 under for the weekend? And red-hot putter, didn't seem to miss, and did everything really well. Just drove it amazingly well around here, which, you know, it's a very tough, tight golf course. You know, when the pressure was on, he hit it down the middle. So, as I said, a deserved winner.
I don't think me and Luke can be too disappointed. We didn't lose it. Danny went out and he won the tournament, so, you know, congratulations to him.
So a full review of the Nedbank Golf Challenge is coming your way, and we'll also look ahead to this week's Alfred Dunhill Championship at Leopard Creek. First up, it's a very good day to Richard Boxall. Boxy, how are you?
I'm all right. Nice to be back. Enjoyed the golf over the weekend. And I thought that Danny Willett, he was 84 in the world rankings. And, you know, when you do win a tournament, you always look like you're better than that. But he certainly looked a lot better than that. It's a long course. I mean, I've walked around it on course commentary. The ball goes a bit higher there because you're at altitude. But it's a long way around. He took the driver. He took the holes on. They tucked the pins away on Saturday and Sunday. But he was going in with sort of 8-9s and wedges, where a lot of the players were going in with 5 and 6 irons. So, as you will know, even off your handicap, Dan, it's a lot easier to hit a 9-iron closer than it is a 5-iron.
Yeah, if I could hit one at all.
Well, yes, exactly.
It's a much better event, isn't it, these days? Because it used to be such a small field. You got runaway winners and you didn't have that competitive edge on a final day. But these days, much bigger field, lots of strength in depth as well, as we saw with Luke Donald leading going into the final day.
And I thought he was going to win, to be perfectly honest. Nice to see three Englishmen up there, Danny Willett as well and Ross Fisher. Because in the past, it has been a lot of South Africans that have done well in this event. And it takes a lot of getting used to the course. You know, you've got grain out there on the course, out on the greens especially. It's very difficult to chip around the greens. So it takes a while. A bit of international golf being played by a lot of the players now, and that's why they finished 1, 2 and 3 in the event.
Luke Donald was expected to win this. He led by one going into the final round, but he dropped shots early on. He had bogey on 3 and 5, and by the turn, he was 2 or 3 off the pace.
You know, if you're leading and you shoot 73 going in the final round, you are only really, unless it's really windy, you are only going to go in one way, sliding down the leaderboard. You know, he won by 4, but many things can happen, especially down those closing holes. You've got a bit of water involved, you know, down those holes. And if you get it slightly wrong, you get a bit of a Captain Cook, as we call it, a hook in the trade, knock it into the water on the 17th. You can take doubles, you can take triple bogeys, and also that green is surrounded by water. So I remember, I know I'm harping back a bit here, Dan, but I remember my caddy said to me when I won the Italian Open, I had a 5-shot lead going down the last hole. And he said to me, there was a branch overhanging down the left-hand side. And he said to me, he said, what you want to do here, Boxy? He said, it's a 4-iron out the right-hand side. He said, and hook it right back to that back left pin. I said, what, with the out-of-bounds all the way around the last? I said, no, no. I said, it's 5-iron over the top of the branch here. I said, on the front and 2 putts from now. I said, I've got a 5-shot lead. Because, you know, mentally you're going, you're playing with Ola Tharbell, you're going, he holds his 3-iron. I knock it in the bunker, hit the lip, come back, hit my knee. You know, I mean, all kinds of stupid things going in that sort of 6 inches of grey matter between your ears. Anyway, that's why I didn't do very well in life. So I did knock it on the front and 2 and 2 putt as it happened. But, you know, I think Willett would have been quite relieved when he finally reached that green in 2.
Well, Danny was indeed sensible down the stretch. In fact, he didn't drop a shot in that last day, 66. And I'm pleased to say Danny joins us on the line. Danny, congratulations. Great playing in South Africa.
Thank you very much. No, it's been a bit hectic the last kind of 12 hours, 24 hours, kind of letting it sink in and stuff. But still in South Africa and playing again this week, so we'll see.
I did read an article that you decided with your caddy that you were going to take this course on and hit driver everywhere. What was your thinking behind that?
We've been driving the ball great most of the year, to be honest. The golf course is obviously visually pretty intimidating, pretty tight, but we just felt like, you know, because the greens are so quirky and small and undulating, that if you could have wedges in there and 9-irons in there, you had a massive advantage over everybody else. So, you know, we decided to take it on off the tee and it paid off.
Did you feel that a win was just around the corner? Because you've played well over the course of the calendar year, 7 top 10s, you were 4th in Turkey as well. Did you feel you just needed maybe a little luck to get that win this year?
Yeah, it was never far off. Turkey could have very easily gone our way. Dubai, you know, we had a bad weekend. We were 1 off the lead. You know, one or two off the pace there with the weekend to go. So we put a lot of good rounds together, and it was just one of them where, yeah, you needed the putter to work nicely. Obviously, you know, everyone who wins each week is usually, you know, they're the best putter of the week. And, you know, a few things go your way, so I guess last week was ours.
Brilliant weekend, 65-66, but they did look, looking on the TV, looked like they tucked some of those pins away really tight.
Yeah, they did. Saturday especially. Saturday was a fantastic day. Set us up in a great position. I mean, 7 under that day. I think the nearest guys to us were 4 under. So we really leapfrogged a few people there, which was brilliant. And then yesterday, again, was we probably hit 2 or 3 poorish golf shots, but recovered quite nicely. To only drop 1 shot over the weekend around that golf course is pretty good.
Now, listen, Danny, I want to know, you need to be honest about this. At which point do you start thinking $1.25 million? That's not a bad first prize.
Well, you think about that on Thursday. But
that would be the end of it for me then.
I kind of took a little bit of a sigh of relief when I hit the green in 2 on the last, because up until then, still anything can still happen. You know, I've seen crazy things in this game, and even with a 4-shot lead, you know, it's not the most simple of holes. It's once that ball got on the green in 2, that was when I sigh of relief.
I can only know from my one win that I had way back in 1912, but the fifth major, as you well know, Danny, the Italian Open, but I had a 5-shot lead going to the last round, and people say, oh, you can't lose it from there, but I'm looking at the sheet here, you won by 4. It's nothing, is it?
It's a lot easier to lose it than it is to win it from that position, you know? I mean, you've got guys come and try and chase you. Luckily enough, we were obviously one back from Luke going into Sunday, so we were kind of chasing, as you'd say, and then we got off to a quick start and got 2 or 3-shot lead pretty early on, and then it was good, really, because then there were no decisions that I really had to make. We'd agreed that we were going to play aggressive, and John stayed right on top of me and made sure that I kept taking shots on where we have been doing all week. 9, for example, would have been easy to chip a wedge down there and wedge it on, but, you know, we decided to go for it.
We've got another event, of course, in South Africa this week, Danny. You are teeing up at Leopard Creek. Do you fancy your chances of going back-to-back here? Because you were 9th last year and you've got a great record in South Africa.
Yeah, South Africa's been good to me. I love the golf course down at Leopard Creek. It's a fantastic event, fantastic place. Again, it's still probably not sunk in from last week. You know, we've just got down here, so we're going to have a day off today, full day off today, and then we'll see how the cards play out for us this week.
Danny, what's this thing that these baboons have got against Englishmen? I mean, Luke Donald, I mean, he had to go to the laundrette, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't think he enjoyed them. He was the group behind us or something. He wasn't too far away from us, and I saw the highlights on TV. It was quite funny, actually, running away. But I tell you what, when they get up close, they're quite big, them fellas.
They are. I tell you what, I mean, I did on-course commentary around there. If you walk through some shortcuts, you think, I hope a baboon's not coming the other way or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd not be a massive fan of walking through the bush around any of these golf courses down here, to be honest.
Danny, what's your schedule going into the new year? Because this is going to make for a very good Christmas. Does your schedule change at all? It gets you into WGC events, of course. What's your thoughts going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. It's right where we want it to be. Changing the schedule a hell of a lot. So next year, obviously, you're in Bridgestone, you're in the HSBC, you'll be in a couple of other bits and bobs. We're already in, obviously, all the events at the end of the year, Turkey, Dubai, all them ones. So it's really now trying to plan to try and keep on top of the back so that properly settles down and hopefully then disappears. And just trying to play a good schedule so that, you know, we can, every time we tee up, we can compete. I'm going to have to speak over with everyone, you know, and try and get on top of.
Listen, Danny, another great thing would be if, you know, you start that Middle East swing, you're number one in the race to Dubai. That must be a target to be number one when you get to that.
Well, exactly. I'd have thought it'd be quite a while until someone probably catches us at one, unless Ross goes out there, you know, guns blazing at the beginning of the season. You know, it's the offer you saw it with Thomas last year. He stayed number one for a hell of a long time because of this win. So, yeah, you know, we're just going to keep trying to build on that and build on that. And again, you know, being up in the top 5 on the order of merit obviously opens doors into different events in America as well. So it's all fun and games.
No doubt about that. Danny, thanks for joining us on the Race to Dubai show. Have a great Christmas and 2015. We'll speak soon.
That's brilliant. Thanks, fellas.
Well, it was Danny's second European Tour win. The first came at the 2012 BMW International Open. He played in 60 events between the victories, a gap of 2 years and 166 days. He recorded 7 top 10 finishes and finished 25th in the 2014 Race to Dubai. He was a total of 148 under par for the season. Only Romain Wattal bettered that, and he moves to over €5 million in European Tour career earnings. Richard, should Danny Willett have won a few more times than just the 2 that he has done? Because he was a brilliant amateur, wasn't he?
He was an excellent amateur. I think you're right. I was thinking about, with the commentary that I've done on him over the last few years, his name has been mentioned a lot on the leaderboards. You know, he's had some very good last rounds, been right up there a lot, and I think he's had a few more chances to win, Danny Willett. And I think probably by now, the way he plays, forget the Nedbank, I would have thought he would have had 3 tucked under his belt by now.
Well, let's hear now from others who finished high on the leaderboard at the Gary Player Country Club, starting with Ross Fisher, who finished on 14 under, 4 shots back.
Delighted. Felt like I played great all week.
finally started to hold a few putts today, which was nice, but unfortunately for me and Luke, Danny was too good. You know, he played some great golf. You know, I had my chances to try and get in there close to him, you know, a few holes to play. I had a great look at birdie on 16 to get to two behind, and then unfortunately 17 was right in between two clubs and couldn't hit the sandwich because I thought it was going to spin too much. So, you know, a little disappointing not to birdie the last, but hey, you know, overall, what, second on my own, can't be too disappointed, can I? I've been playing some really good golf for a long time, and it's just nice to see the results starting to come good. You know, had a chance obviously in China, finishing runner up there. Turkey I played well, Dubai I played well, and this week I felt like I've played really well all week. And you know, unfortunately 2 days I putted pretty good, 2 days I putted poorly, and that's what's cost me this week.
Can you put your feet up? Can you put the clubs away for
absolutely
a bit?
I'm not going to see a club until probably the 5th of January. Yeah, I'm going to enjoy some time at home with Joe and the kids, Harry and Eve. Really looking forward to Christmas, spending it at home with the family.
Nick Dye with the questions. Ross Fisher, is he getting back to the level of a few years ago? Do you think we'll see him challenge for majors again in the not-too-distant future?
I think so, yeah. You know, he went out to America and it didn't work out particularly well for him out there, did it? And he's come back and he's picked up a win. He won South Africa, won the Tshwane Open, didn't he, at the beginning of 2014. So, yes, he is. I think his total tally of tournaments is 5 or 6 now on the European Tour, is it? You would have that stat tucked under your belt, no doubt.
Yes, unfortunately, I haven't got it. No.
Well, I think it's 5. And I think, yeah, to answer your question, I sort of went round it a little bit there, but to answer your question, I think he is pretty much back to how he was playing at his best on the European Tour.
Well, Luke Donald was 3rd on 12 under, and the former world number one was not too disappointed with failing to hold on to his overnight lead.
A lot of positives, yeah. It's nice to put myself back in position. I could have played a little bit better, but, you know, I still would have had to shoot 5 under just to tie with Danny. He played really faultless golf today, and hats off, he was a deserved winner.
And given that this is the start to the new Race to Dubai, it's a good bit of money in the bank, in a sense.
Yeah, good start, and, you know, one of the tournaments under my belt. So if I have tournaments like this where I'm always having a chance to win, that's a good thing, so I'm happy with that.
Rather oddly, it was Luke's bunker play that scuppered him on the last day because he struggled for the sand, which is very unusual.
Tis, yeah, for him. He's always had a pretty red-hot short game. You know, up and down out of bunkers, you would put him around the green. You'd say 9 times out of 10 he's up and down out of the bunkers, as long as it's not a ridiculously difficult bunker shot. But no, it let him down a little bit. Sometimes the sand can be different, obviously, from course to course that you go to. So, listen, I mean, he's not that bad, is he? I mean, he's finished 3rd in the tournament on his own, so I don't think he's moaning. I mean, it was literally, looking at the board, it was a 3-horse race, really, wasn't it? And if the 3 of them are playing there and you shoot 73 on the final day, I don't think you could expect to win.
He won in Japan, of course, last season, but he's got himself into positions where he's not got the job done. Is that a worry for him at the moment?
I don't think it'd be a worry.
There that, you know, Danny shot a 66 last day. He's won the event. It's not as if Luke's thrown it away.
He hasn't. No, he won't be happy with 73. He's done that a bit, though, as he said last year. He's faded a bit. He'd be disappointed he didn't get in the Ryder Cup, but I don't think he would have been expected to be picked for that, to be quite honest, because I just don't think it was quite going his way, was it? You know, if anything, he was moving away from the team rather than moving nearer, if you know what I mean. So, listen, he'll be fine. Careers are peaks and troughs, aren't you? And, you know, if Luke Donald's going through a bit of a trough at the moment and still finishing 3rd in the Ned Bank and still playing quite nicely, thank you very much, I'm sure he'll come back.
Well, before we move on from Luke Donald, let's go back to Friday and hear about the Englishman's brush with a baboon.
Just walking up 13, we saw one hiding in the tree and got to my ball, and then suddenly Shane said, "Watch out," you know, and I turned around and suddenly this thing's galloping towards me, and I jump out the way. I don't know, my facial expression, I'm sure it was caught on camera and was probably on the internet that already by now, but it gave me a little bit of a fright as he just strolled right by me.
You're right, Luke, it is on the internet and it has been viewed an awful lot of times. We mentioned it to Danny Willard, of course, but Luke looked a little spooked, didn't he, by his brush with a baboon?
I wouldn't fancy that at all. I mean, as I say, I've been out there doing on-course commentary, and you're always a bit wary. Is there any snakes? You know, is there baboons? Is there lions? I mean, you just don't know what there is. But I'll tell you what, you got hit by one of those baboons, you wouldn't wake up for a while, I'll tell you.
Well, back to the golf, and Germany's Marcel Ziem was 4th on 9 under par, and he says he wasn't sure how many risks he should take in trying to pursue the leading trio.
I mean, I tried to make birdies in the end. I knew I had 3 shots to the 5th place and tried to make birdies, had a few good chances. Didn't drop, unfortunately. But those guys play very steady, so there was no chance. I'm very happy with the 4th. Good start in the season. I don't know if that gets me close to top 50 again for the Masters next year, but whatever. Definitely not playing anymore this year and trying to do the job then in the Middle East.
He's been playing brilliantly recently. He's moved up a level, hasn't he, Marcel?
He has. He's got up that next notch. Again, it was a long time till he won again, you know, on the European Tour. I think it started with the French Open, you know. It was a long time till he'd done that. Then he wins in Morocco, moves on from winning tournaments, then moves on to sort of performing quite well in majors as well.
In round one, I don't know if you remember this, Boxy, Seems 183-yard approach to the par 4, 17th, deflected off the right edge of the green and spun into the hole for an eagle that won the German a Volvo V40 T5, and apparently, because he's sponsored by Mercedes, he's giving the Volvo to his mum. Puts the pressure on all of us with Christmas around the corner, Richard, doesn't it? What are we going to buy our relatives? I hope the expectation level hasn't risen.
A spare tyre, probably.
I've been trying to get rid of mine for a long time.
Well, so have I.
No Christmas presents for our tipsters last week. Robert went for Brooks Koepka, who was 19th, 3 over. Your good self, Louis Oosthuizen, tied 7th, 3 under. That's another success for you over Robert.
And another good top 10 pick from me, wouldn't you say? And praise me, please, because you know Lee will slaughter me.
Well, that's not bad for Rob, isn't it? 19th out of a 30-runner field.
I think that's pretty good. I think he must be happy with
that. He's got to be happy with that. Yeah. He's got to be able to, you know, move forward and maybe get top 15 next time he's on.
Top 25, maybe. Yes, of course, yes.
Now then, top 10s. Ned Bank Golf, first of all. Let's get the full top 10.
OK, yes. Tie 7th, 8th, 9th and 10th was Jonas Blix, Tim Clark, Tong Chai Jaidi, Louis Oosthuizen, and then 6th on his own was Miguel Angel Jimenez, Kiradesh Appibhanra. He played well, finished 5th. Marcel Seam, 4th. And then 3rd was Luke Donald with a final round of 73. Ross Fisher, 66. He finished at 14 under, 4 behind the eventual winner, Danny Willett. Excellent second win for him on the European Tour.
Top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings. You would have thought it would be the same.
It would be the same.
But it's not.
But it's not. The reason that Tim Clark is not on the Race to Dubai is purely and simply because he's a non-member. So I shall give you it in 10th. Shane Lowry then comes into 10th. Louis Oosthuizen is tied 7th with Jonas Blix and Jaidi, Tong Chai Jaidi. Miguel Angel Jimenez flying the flag for the over 50s. He's in 6th. 5th is Appibhanra. Marcel Seam 4th. Luke Donald 3rd. Ross finished 2nd. And Danny Willett, who I think will probably stay up there for a few months, I would have thought. He's at number 1.
We should also mentioned that the 2015 Race to Dubai will operate on a point system for the duration of its 47 tournaments. So every euro earned by a player competing in a European Tour event up to and including the Hong Kong Open, which brings the regular season to a close on October the 25th next year, will be converted into a Race to Dubai point. Player's official winnings in euros will still be recorded in his career record, but the Race to Dubai rankings will be purely points-based from this season onwards. World rankings next up. Any sort of changes in the top 10? What about the players that perform well at the Nedbank?
Yes, there's been some good moves. Danny Willett, after that win now, is 56th in the world rankings. Donald has moved up to 32nd. But the top 10 is Ricky Fowler has got that spot of 10th. Jordan Spieth is 9th. 8th is Jason Day. Sergio Garcia, the Spaniard, is 7th. Jim Furyk is 6th. Justin Rose is 5th. 4th is Bubba Watson. Adam Scott is 3rd. 2nd, Henrik Stenson. And leading the way still is Rory McIlroy.
In other news, Henrik Stenson is the Race to Dubai European Tour Golfer of the Month for November, following his defence of the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. The Swede also had a decent week at the Hero World Challenge in the United States, finishing 2nd behind American Jordan Spieth. Spieth won the Australian Open the previous week and absolutely dominated this event in Florida. He led from wire to wire, carding a final round 7 under par 66 to finish on 26 under, no less than 10 shots clear of Stenson.
Everything in my game was momentum coming off of last week. That last round, I felt like I really had things under control. I knew there's a certain couple things that I had tendencies to do when I wasn't closing it out. I fixed that in Australia and it worked, and I continued to do that when I felt pressure here this week. In general, this was the best that I've ever played, which is what I said in a media center in Sydney last week, and I played better this week. This is the best I've played, and hopefully look back and continue to grow off of this week. That's great going forward. Obviously, we'd like to keep it rolling, but it's going to be really nice to have some time at home. I've been on a lot of airplanes in the last 5 weeks and a lot of long flights, and it'll be nice to take it easy.
Came in for a little bit of criticism over the course of the year, Jordan Spieth, for not winning, and then suddenly he's won in Australia and then beaten some very good players in Florida.
He has, yeah. He's pretty young as well. He's not very old, is he? I mean, he's not even 25 yet. As you say, getting a bit of stick for not winning, but he's...
Because there's pressure on him as a young American player,
well,
isn't
he? Yeah, but you've got to give the bloke a bit of time. I mean, I think he's probably zipped up a few mouths now, I would imagine, by what he's done over the last 2 or 3 weeks. But I have to mention another thing. I was watching a bit of that. Tiger Woods... his pitching, I mean, he really has seems to have a bit of a problem with that. You know, I'm not saying it's a yip yet, but I mean, did you watch a couple of those Duff pitches he played?
I did see them, yeah.
And it's the first time I've seen him hit a shot virtually on the run. Duff two pitches yesterday and then went straight up and hit it again.
You'll know more than me. When Tiger Woods was at the peak of his powers, he never drove the ball as well as Rory McIlroy, but his short game
was brilliant.
And to get himself out of trouble and to play some miracle shots, he could do it, and he did it regularly to win events and put pressure on his opponents. And if he can't do that anymore and his driving isn't up to scratch, what's the future?
Well, he's always going to be a great player for sure, but as far as I'm concerned, he won't get back to how he used to play, but he'll still be up there and compete. I'm sure he'll still be up there in majors as well.
But we talked about expectation with Jordan Spieth. We expect so much from Tiger Woods as well, don't we? This is his first round back for however many.
Everyone expects a lot back from him, but if you don't play for a while, it doesn't take long for the game to go off. You know, he's not taking time off because he's had enough of the game. He's taking time because he's got pain, so you can't obviously hit golf balls, so you lose your feel. It's as simple as that. And if you get a little bit of doubt comes into your mind and you duff a little pitch, it's like if you miss a putt from a foot, let's say, or 18 inches, miss one from 18 inches, and then you get another one two holes later and you do it again, you start, it depends how strong you are in the mind. You know, you can get very fragile on it.
Pain-free.
Yes.
What do you predict for Tiger in 2015?
Pain-free, I'll go for 2 tour wins and I'll go for 2 top fives in a major.
Well, he finished last, unfortunately, in Florida.
No, but that's not counting.
I know it's not, but he did finish last. Joint last, I've been reliably
out of 18.
Reminded. Out of 18.
Top 20 finish, I mean.
But it'd be interesting to see what happens in 2015, certainly. Elsewhere, the PGA Catalunya Resort near Barcelona will host the European Tour qualifying school final stage until at least 2017. After extending its existing deal by 3 years, the Costa Brava venue has staged the final stage since 2008. And the 2014 Ryder Cup at Glen Eagles has been named as the joint winner of the Sporting Event of the Year at the Scottish Sports Awards presented by the Sunday Mail and Sports Scotland. The Ryder Cup shared the prize with the Glasgow 2014 Commonwealth Games. On to this week's action, and the European Tour stays in South Africa for a second week, this time at Leopard Creek and the Alfred Dunhill Championship. Full field event this time around. Boxy co-sanctions, of course, with the Sunshine Tour. And again, we've got a decent field.
Yeah, it is a good field, as per usual. We don't normally get bad ones nowadays. Last week's winner, Danny Willett's playing. Brandon Grace is in there. Louis Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartz all looking out for them this week. He always seemed to do pretty well around this golf course. Oliver Wilson, who won the Alfred Dunhill Links back in October, and also Julien Ken from France. So, yes, it is a good field.
Well, Danny Willett said he was going to try and go back-to-back, of course, a winner at the Nedbank. What can he expect from the course Leopard Creek?
I wouldn't be surprised at all if he has a top-10 finish, for sure. But one thing he will have to put up with, hot and humid, a lot of grain on the greens. It's a very good finish. There's a par-5 finishing hole with water all around the green, and it has seen some very bad finishes and also some very good finishes. So plenty of excitement, I think you'll see Sunday afternoon.
You mentioned the conditions and the greens as well. The European Tour players, though, there's a number of them that play there every single year. They're used to conditions out there now, aren't they?
They are now, yes, because they go out there a lot. But, you know, when you first went out to those sort of places, and Thailand is also another place, you know, when you used to go out there and your gloves were getting soaking wet and you couldn't put your scorecard in your back pocket because your trousers and underwear were so wet that you used to disintegrate into mush. I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, when you only go there once a year, you can't get used to it. But as there's so many events out there now, and there's so many events abroad out of Europe, a lot of the players are used to it, yes.
So who is going to win? We need some selections. Now, the obvious one, Boxy, is Charles Schwartzel, because he's got such a tremendous record there. He's won umpteen times, runner-up on don't know how many occasions.
Yeah.
But his form hasn't been great recently, so it's course form over current form. What do we like?
OK, well, I'll tell you who I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for a man who, for him, had a quietish year last year. First time he came out on tour, he won 4 tournaments in the first year in 2012. That is Brandon Grace, and I think he's going to start winning tournaments again, so I'll go for him.
I'm going to go for Lucas Bjerregaard.
That's a very good pronunciation as well.
Thank you.
That's the one to struggle with in the commentary during the year coming up, I can see that. But, OK, you picked him, you like the way he plays?
Yeah, 16th last year, so he can play. Just about managed to grab his cards in 2014. Yeah. He played well out in Australia. I'm hopeful that he can take inspiration from Jordan Spieth, not as classy a player. But Spieth went from Australia to win in America. Let's hope that Bjerregaard can rack up another top 4, top 5, maybe even win as he did in Australia back in South Africa. That's my particular pick.
Well, you're quite entitled to that. And you've put him under pressure now.
I have indeed. I hope he's listening. That is your lot for now. Next week, we'll review all the action at the Alfred Dunhill Championship and look ahead to the first few Race 2 Dubai events of 2015, so be sure to join us for that. But for now, from Richard Boxall and myself, Dan Roebuck, it's goodbye.
Bye for now.